Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast episode number 471. Handcuffs can't stop me. Yep. And it's literal. Not a metaphor, a real thing. And I'll tell you, the title was going to be for, past 3 weeks, 4 weeks, I've been thinking about ever since Zen turned nine is PYP is nine. That's going to be the title. It's that every year. Up until 3 days ago, where I was detained in handcuffs. Got through that day, got through the next day. I was texting back and forth with Scott, and he sent me a text. He said, "Handcuffs can't stop you." And immediately I was like, that's the title. That's the way better than PYP is nine. And it just became a great story. So the thing I was going to share about when it was going to be, PYP is nine, is I thought, who was I when I did, the first year of Pro U Podcast, and who am I, what version am I 9 years later? And I'm like, then poof, 3 days ago, this day happens. And I'm like, perfect. Crazy day. I was aware. I can reflect on it, look back on it. I can, I talked, back and forth with Scott a bunch about it, like checking all the points like I did, and this is what I, how I was different, and this is, changing the whole thing and coming out where it turned out to be a pretty amazing day. And then it got better the next day, and then it's Sunday morning right now when I'm recording this, but I went to the beach yesterday after all that was Zen and had this just amazing day, and I was like, all right, here's what I'm going to share. So first off, thank you for the listeners. 9 years I've been doing this and you've been listening, and it just means so much to me to have listeners, to have this podcast, the opportunity to, share my stuff, verbally, get it out. It's always helped me heal. It continues to help me heal. And I'm just, as always, hoping that what I share, you can pull one thing. If one thing resonates with you, helps you, you can take away that one thing and add it to your path of personal growth, and it helps, then, my dreams came true. So thank you for listening, and enjoy. It's a ride. Hello. Excited to be here. Hope you're excited as well. If not, just from the episode title, Handcuffs Can't Stop Me. Now, I'd been thinking about this episode for a while, and I knew the title, PYP is 9. Just like I did every year at this time of year. PYP is 8, PYP is 7. So again, it's that consecutive cool thing I love, that Zen turns 9, then the podcast turns 9, and in a month I'll turn 59. And like I said, up until 3 days ago, that was the title. And I just, one of the most, I don't have a word to describe what that day was, but it was definitely the biggest day, most happening, most went on in 2024 by far. So, like as 2023 would progress, it was like, okay, Zen's knee surgery, and it was Zen's second knee surgery, and then, everything that I went through and how great it was. And it was just like, I just look back at it in hindsight. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Makes sense. That's that. So, end of the day, I loved the story, and I loved the moral to the story. I loved the lesson to the story. I loved what I got from the story, but I'm going to save that story till the end. I got a couple things I want to chat about first, but the whole episode, 471, PYP is 9, and, I just thought of, I wrote that down. I thought, okay, who was I 9 years ago? And I'm like, well, there's the podcast. I'm pretty sure I can talk at quite length about who I used to be, the version I used to be. So, first off, I want to throw out a couple of thank yous. If it were not for Sir Chris Hardwick, I would not have the podcast. So whenever it rolls around this time of year, I always think, wow, I'm, you know, I'm thankful for this podcast. You know, I'm thankful I get to do it. I'm thankful I got it. And, you know, I'm just super thankful to my longtime client and friend, Chris, for the opportunity, the green light. Second of all, I would like to thank Third Time's a Charm for producers on the podcast, the Canadian assassin, Nico, who, you know, I didn't know really what the producer did when I had the first one because Chris kind of took care of it. And then all of a sudden I realized I needed one and got one, and that ran its course. But it was never anything that, you know, it wasn't like this positive thing. It wasn't like this, oh, and here's this little cool element. Oh, here's this little vibe of joy that's just, you know, now part of the podcast. And that's when Nico started. You know, I remember, I think it was just like a email or something saying, hey, I'm going to be in L.A. You want to grab a coffee? And I'm like, sure. And chatted, good dude, liked it. Like, you know, it was, you know, it was just cool. You know, it was like first time I'd ever, you know, met a listener. And I think we just kind of kept in touch after that. And I remember liking, him, you know, like his, I don't know, there's just something about him. And when I think of him now, I think of the word joy. And I don't know if he thinks of himself and thinks of that word, but that's where it's grown to. So it was just this positive thing. And then, you know, when I reached out for the producer availability and he replied, I was pretty pumped. But again, just, you know, it was like, I need someone to fix a leak. You know, I need a mechanic to tune up my car. Like, okay, cool, good, done. Not like, oh, I got a tune-up and my car is way better. I got that leak fixed and now my bathroom is way better. But it was Third Time because our friendship grew, and he's a talented, magical storyteller. And it would just be, all right, here's a podcast, you know, upload this, thank you. And he would reply with some cool story, something that he went through, something that he learned. And then he'd say, thank you for letting me be the producer of this podcast. And I'm like, I get stories. I get personal moments, all of which I share on the podcast and never ask. That's the whole thing. You got to know if you send me something, I'm going to probably put it on the podcast. But with Nico, it's always, again, been with great joy going, you know, listen to this story and look at what he stopped and discovered whilst smelling the roses. And, you know, again, to be like, wow, I have this really cool friendship, positive vibe with the producer who's going, you know, about his pro-you journey, and he's sharing it with me and the things that he's learning and the things, you know, how he's growing and how he recognizes the new version of himself. And we get to chat every once in a while about that and about his path. And I'm like, you know, that has completely, to me, contributed to the success of the podcast, the fun I have, the joy I have in it, the pride I have in it, all of that. So, Nico, thank you for being you. I was chatting with Scott, and he said, well, you know, that whole fight or flight kind of in the head thing that's just kind of there. You know, it's not like we pause and think. It's just kind of like, okay, there might be danger. What if? And oh, and prepare and da-da-da. Like, that's kind of, you know, that's like built in us. And being aware of that is a huge, important thing. But he's like, you know, you just living your life and you know, you're assessing threats. And it just, it was like, I have never heard, and this is what I said to him. I go, that is exactly what I do when I walks in. I don't think that it could be anyone else out there who walks their dog and would think those are the two words that completely describe my experience. Because, like, you know, again, sometimes I'm walking in the middle of the night, 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, you know, whatever it is. But, you know, I'm walking. My head's on a swivel. I'm, you know, if I hear a noise, I'm turning around. I'm not blind to nothing. It's like, okay, there's a homeless encampment we're walking by. Zen, get on this side. You know, there's someone, you know, walking by looks kind of shady. Zen, come over here. I'm like, okay, what's this person doing? Why is that person? You know, I'm aware of, like, everything. And I never thought of it. But, you know, now the version I am of myself, I'm like, that's output. That's energy. Like, that's effort. Like, that's a thing. It's like someone goes, here's 10-pound dumbbell. Carry this. You know, that's more of a physical thing, but this is physical weight. Like, and I was like, I have never heard. It just, you know, encapsulated my experience. And then I think back, well, where does that come from? There's the fight or flight, but it's also being a child that, you know, was spanked, you know, pretty... Well, okay, I peed my pants a lot when I was getting punished. Let's just say that. So you become sensitive, you know. So when he would walk in the door, you know, I'd hear other people talk about these stories, and it's like I could tell by his footsteps. I could tell by how, you know, when the, you know, key went in the lock. I could tell by how he opened the door. And, you know, I just, you know, because you wanted to pick up on it. You know, can I go run up and say hi, or should I just stay away, or should I just, you know, because you never knew. You know, you just did not know what was quiet. I mean, I didn't know if quiet was he was quiet, or quiet because he was tired, or quiet because he had a bad day, and look out. And then we talked about something, and this was like a trippy thing, how, like, you know, 0 to 5. Whatever happens to you from that time can affect your rest of your life. And when I heard that, I was like, wow, that just really resonates with me. Because I was young, like, had to be 4, 5, 6, in the ballpark somewhere around there. And we had a split level. So when you walked in the house, the front door, there was, you know, X amount of steps going up and X amount of steps going down. And on each staircase, there was handrails, wooden handrails. And, you know, I was just a kid, you know, active, full of energy, you know. And I would be on the top step, and I would slide my hand down the railing and put my other hand on the wall. And then I would brace myself, and then I would, you know, swing my feet and land on the bottom. It was like 6 steps or something like that. You know, like a kid playing. Now, should I have been playing like it was a swing set? You know, probably not. But again, I'm a kid. I'm a young boy, you know, full of energy, whatever. Not trying to do anything bad. And definitely not thinking about breaking anything. And 1,000% not thinking that I'm going to get in trouble. So I slide my hands out. I start swinging my legs and the handrail breaks. So there's a support at each end, but not in the middle. I would say that's a design flaw. Because who built it? My father did. So I remember landing and, like, being freaked out. And I looked, and my arm was bleeding. And I was like, you know, again, I'm just shocked. It broke. And so you're kind of, you know, like, freaking out because you broke something. But I knew in my home, when you broke something, you're probably getting in trouble. And I just remember the lashing out that I took from my father and, you know, totally wetting my pants. And then when Scott and I were talking and that kind of came into my head, I mentioned it briefly, but I'm like, I did not at all think that was a possibility. Like, I'm going to swing on this railing, and if it breaks, this is what's going to happen to me, and I'm going to end up with wet pants. Not you know, again, there's nothing in my head. Think so. As a kid, now you're going, okay, I got to be head on a swivel. I have no idea when it's going to come. I mean, I could be thinking I'm having fun, and the next thing you know, I'm peeing my pants. And I'm like, yeah, that, I think that would affect the kid for sure for a long time. And here I am. You know, again, there's, you know, women out that I see early in the morning walking by themselves. And I'm like, they seem to be fine. You know, no one's attacking them. No one's coming at them. And, you know, that stuff like doesn't really happen. But it doesn't change my experience. And that really resonated with me. But again, it's good to know that. Like, I'm like, okay, I got to realize that this is happening. And okay, I got to be able to breathe and da, 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 da. So wrote this down. You feel better. And this is, again, something Scott and I talk about all the time. And I keep, you know, sharing with my client. It is the do. Don't think, do. Actively participate, you know, action, you know, get up. Doesn't have to be wonderful. Doesn't have to be a Picasso, but move your butt. You feel better when you actively pursue something. Then that pursuit makes you feel better. Then your awareness of you feeling better because you actively pursued something, you know, so it's like this kind of, you know, the opposite of like making a bad decision and then you slide down the slippery slope of feeling bad and feeling guilty and beating yourself up. And it's just that downward spiral. And this is the exact opposite. I'm just going to read it again. You feel better when you actively pursue something. Now, again, it wasn't dominate. It wasn't, you know, execute perfectly. It wasn't accomplish. It wasn't win. It's just actively pursue something. Now, that pursuit of that thing is going to make you feel better. But then at the end of the day, you're going to have that hindsight awareness of you feeling better because you did. And then that's going to be after a day. And then that's going to be like that after a week. And then it's going to be like that after a month. And then 6 months and a year and 2 years and, you know, on and on and on. Again, 2020, best year of my life. Turned 55, you know, got the tattoo. Greatest year of my life. This is fantastic. Well, what's happened since? Well, it's gotten increasingly better. Why? Well, I wasn't going to stop doing what got me to 2020, what got me to 55. I was like, well, this is the greatest I've ever felt. I'm going to keep doing this. And it wasn't like, you know, huge breakthroughs. It was just, no, chopping wood, carrying water, Sisyphus, pushing the stone up the hill each and every day, but finding that reason to challenge myself. Like, how do I do more? How do I start, you know, meditating? How do I start journaling? I'm going to go to the park, and if Zen's sitting here, you know, what can I do? I can balance on a foot. Okay, I start doing one-legged exercises. I'm going to start working on, you know, it's like this constantly. I'm going to keep challenging myself to break through, okay, I'm old, I can't do A, to proper old, hey, what can I do? What can I improve on? And I keep challenging myself with balancing stuff, with core stuff, you know, and then all that is information I get to share with my clients and then walk in the earth. I get to then share that experience with the podcast listeners. So it's like, yeah, I'm going to keep doing this because what I just spoke about is what's in my head. And from 0 to 50, 51, 52, if you asked me what was going on in my head, I knew exactly what was going on in my head, what had been going on that entire time. And now it's different. It keeps on getting better. So I keep on doing what I'm doing. So one other thing we talked about, and this was on a podcast, was motivation versus momentum. Motivation, you think that, oh, I need that spark, that, you know, that thing that's going to drive me. But motivation is fleeting and it could change, you know. So it's this, like, again, the active part, the action part, proactive. Like, if I do something, I'll feel good. And then I did it again and I felt good. And I'm like, okay, now I've done it a few times and I'm feeling kind of, you know, that accomplishment feeling. And I'm like, okay, now again, there's that momentum. There's that consistency. That's what's going to keep you going. That's what's going to make it last. Not, well, I need this, you know, this goal. I need this reason to do it. It's just like the doing it is the reason. The feeling good is the reason. Where you're headed doesn't really matter because you're not really sure. No one's guaranteed where they're exactly going to, you know, end up. Again, one of my favorite quotes is, you want to take care of the future, take care of the present moment. Like, I love that. You want to have an impact on the world, become the best you. You know, all those things are about you right now in this moment. And the daily habit of that is what I think makes that successful path. And then it doesn't really matter where you're going to end up. All right. All right, I'm going to end with that. So there's two things I'm going to actually end with, but I'll get into the big story here. I'm going to take a sip of coffee. So, when I think about, you know, PYP being 9 and who I was, that's where I thought this story was kind of perfect. Instead of, like, you know, talking about who I used to be and, you know, going through a bunch of stuff over the past 9 years, this story, because it just happened, you know, 2-3 days ago, and I'm thinking, well, here's what I experienced, here's what I was aware of, here's what I did, here's what I saw. Now there's hindsight, I can look at it, you know, break it down, you know, talked about it in you know, detail with Scott and back and forth on it and dissected it. And I'm like, God, this is just perfect. So who I used to be versus who I am today can be, you know, just really, you know, summarized by saying, well, I'm a much better version. Like, am I flawed? Yeah. Do I still have the same stuff? Of course. You know, it's just that you, again, you become aware of it, you work on it, you grow, you become this different version where, like, yeah, I understand that thing I do, but I understand why it's there, and I'm not going to beat myself up. I don't want to, you know, continue to, you know, keep myself an older version by, you know, negativity, beating yourself up is just something that's not good. So you need to move on from that version of you. And I'm like, that continual growth, that's like, that's the success for me. You know, that's that thing where I feel good about. I'm like, wow, I changed all that stuff to become a better version of me. But by changing all those things, working on those things, I've changed my experience. And that's what's so black and white. Like, it's like, wow, this is way different than I've ever really gotten through the day. The mornings, you know, call them the golden morning. You know, it was building a solid day. Now it's the golden morning. Like, all these things I'm experiencing for the first time. And I did the work to get here. You know, I had to work through all the things. I had to, you know, become aware. I had to accept. I had to understand a lot of things aren't going to change overnight. I know a lot of things aren't going to ever, like, go away completely. I know I'm going to suffer. I know I'm going to still make mistakes. But it's a different version of me walking the earth, going through all these moments and having these different experiences. I can just tell I'm a different version. And that's what gives me, like, that hope and that confidence of, like, yeah, bad's coming for sure. One in particular, you know, when Zen goes, that's going to be horrible. Now, what's the donut here? I get the hole. That's going to suck. What's the donut? Well, the version I am today is going to completely look at this entire moment as I have since I've gotten Zen for the last 8 years. I'm going to look at that moment way different than when it happened to my first dog. And that's a fact, and that's what I know. And again, that's what can and does give me peace. That's going to suck, but I'm going to get through it. I'm going to handle it way better than ever before. Ta-da, end of story. Now, again, this story is perfect because it's, you know, not like this, oh, it was wonderful and then it was a little bit more wonderful and then it was magical and then it ended with, you know, unicorns and purple clouds, you know. So here we go. I got to the point, you know, again, through a tough moment where I was like, I got to let the parking lot go. Who's parking there? Who's not parking there? What's going on? Because I had been in a bunch of altercations. I mean, nothing ever got physical, but the last one was a dude smashed my front windshield with a hammer. And I'm like, okay, you don't need to come out here. Because if you didn't come out here, you didn't approach him. You didn't, you know, instigate that moment. It doesn't matter what happened half an hour later. You know, if you didn't do A, B wouldn't have happened. So there, what do you want to do from now on? I'm like, you know what? That's, yeah, I get it now. It really hit home. And again, it takes me a long time and something like a brick hitting me in the head, which has happened literally in my life, or a hammer breaking my windshield, be like, okay, how's this going for you? Do you want, to keep being Mr. Security out in the parking lot? I'm like, nah, no one, 19 other apartments, no one else cares. You know, why am I doing this? And again, that's the uncomfortable, you know, look at yourself. You know, it's like this uncomfortable depth that you go to go, wow, okay, I'm doing that. That's on me. Like, do I want to keep, I've done it. It's familiar. I've done it a long time, but do I want to keep doing it? So again, evolved into a better version. Don't do that. You know, walk by the parking lot, through the parking lot a lot, see someone, I'm like, you know, whatever. But if there's something shady, if there's something funky, something parked, you know, someone parked there a long time, and I notice, like, I'm aware, but I'm like, all right, you got that. And that's the thing. I still start feeling that urge and that compulsion. I'm like, yeah, but okay, what do you want to do, though? You know, if you, whatever you do, you know that that next moment, now that you've sparked the fire, you don't know. And then now do you want that? So it's like, again, that's the better version of me. I'm able to see it, become aware of it, and take a step back, pause, and go, well, let me change this, you know, right now, what I would normally just do. And think, well, I didn't think about it. I just did it. I just reacted. It's like, yeah. That's what, it's not always a good thing. So I'm like, okay, cool. But we have a closed apartment complex, a gate in the front, a gate in the back. So inside, I'm like, you know, this is where I live. And, you know, I've been as protective of just other tenants. You know, a couple years ago, someone stole a package downstairs and I ran down and confronted him. So I've, you know, always been the protective guy. But, you know, the manager's a little older than me, a woman, and I'm like, you know, I'm protective of her because I, you know, like her, care about her. You know, Zorik, the owner here, you know, we become friends. So, you know, I always want to help him out. Like, you know, he's been through a lot and had, you know, double bypass surgery. So anything I can help him out with, I do. And he just likes me, and I can tell that. So again, there's just a reason of, you know, even though it's an apartment complex and there's, you know, 20 apartments, I still feel protective. You know, I got the only seat, you know, outside, and you know, I got that opportunity to do that. And I got a blanket out there and a blanket for Zen, a chair for me, and, you know, some plants, and, you know, I just sit out there, you know. So I'm like coming and going a lot. Like, so I like, you know, kind of have this 24-hour watch. I could be walking outside, you know, 2 in the morning, 4 in the morning, 6 in the morning through the parking lot. You know, I've caught different people doing different things. And you know what I mean? So it's like I'm just, you know, like if there was a tenant who could be part-time security, it would be me, just because of, you know, my daily life, the coming and going, and, you know, where I sit and where I watch everything. And I'm just naturally aware and I observe a lot. And, you know, so it's turned out to be that way. So here we go, the deep dive. So it's Thursday morning, and I was up early, you know, walked in, came in, made coffee. But before I meditated and journal, I wanted to spray this thing I was making with just one coat of polyurethane. So it's like 6:15, maybe something like that. And I go walking out. And as soon as I turn the corner, there's, you know, again, my little area where I sit, Zen chills. And then there's the steps. At the top of the steps, this dude sitting there. And he's got some bags and he's just all kind of bundled up. And he's just like, he's camping out. And I, right away, I'm like shocked in my heart, because it's like, no one's supposed to be in here. And it's, you know, black, dark out. It's, you know, 6 a.m. in the morning. So I just walk up, and again, I'm always like this, no matter if it's someone in the parking lot, wherever it's been, I'm like, you know, can I help you? You know, what are you doing here? And he starts kind of mumbling, and right away I can tell he's completely not there. But he's saying, well, I was staying with a friend, and blah, 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 and he kind of mumble, and he'd say something else. And so I knew it was trippy, and I was just like, well, I'm like, you know, you got to go. And he's like, yeah, it's fuck. And then he starts getting kind of like, well, I'm just going to, again, people, I read people really well. You start going, well, I'll just get loud, and I'll just get, you know, I'll just, you know, curse, and I'll just raise my voice. And then that will, you know, that will scare a bunch of people. There's, you know, women there, or certain, you know, dudes, whatever, you know, again, they'll be like, well, I don't want none of this. I'm like, okay, there's no way I'm going to be like, okay, I'm going to go back in. You sit out here and chill. Like, there's just no way. And I'm like, how did he get in here? You know, both gates are locked. But people have in the past left it open. But I don't know. I'm just at this point going, I'm getting him out of here. So I kind of start walking towards him. He kind of starts getting up, and he kind of starts getting a little aggressive. And I'm like, you know, taking my foot and kind of trying to push one bag down a step. And, you know, and he's just like all like fired up now. And I'm like, the more he's getting aggressive, the more like, you got to get out of here. Like, again, I know immediately already I'm not going to hit him. I'm not. I just know I'm not doing that. But I'm getting him out of here. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to shove him. I'm not going to punch him. I'm not going to kick him, but he's getting out of here. So I end up, I had my phone, or I went and got my phone, and I text the manager, and I go back outside, and then she walks out, and I said, you know, Irene, call the police. And I'm like, you know, I just want to be like, okay, you know, there's a man, you know, manager, now they're calling up, you know, just, that's it. Just that whole, get out of here. That's it. Just get out of here. And he's still going back and forth. So my manager comes a little closer, and there's a little bit of space on the steps. So I grab one of his bags, and I walk out the front gate. And I'm like, all right, you want your bag? Come out. Like, just lure him outside. And I've got this, like, I'm kind of in a reactive mode right now. Like, I'm just going through it. Like, again, I knew. I was aware. I mean, I was in his face and could have, you know, done anything I wanted to him. Smacked him in the head, elbowed him in the head, you kicked. I could have done anything. Like, I was in his face. I knew I wasn't. So there's that clarity. And again, I wasn't thinking about all this, but I knew that. I don't want to lay hands on people. That's not like, you know, I'm going to stand up. I'm not going to back down. I'm going to get in your face if you're in my face, if you're getting aggressive. But I'm not like, oh, I'm going to hit this. Because then, you know, there's people that just headbutt people. Don't talk. Don't say anything. They just headbutt and boom, and then go on. I had a friend like that. So I know that. But I walk outside, and I'm like, across the street is this abandoned lot. Dude bought the house, tore the house down, and dug a big hole, and then it's been sitting there for I don't know how long. So people just start dumping garbage and stuff in it, but where the hole was dug, it's just rain, so there's a big puddle, and again, it's just all this, you know, junk in there. And I'm like, throw that bag in that thing. But immediately I pump my brakes, so I'm like, okay, you're talking about don't retaliate, don't escalate, you know, all these things you've been talking about doing. And I'm like, all right, just walk around back. Because now I walked out, and I didn't have a key, so I couldn't get back in. So now my manager's kind of in that front area by the front gate by this dude. And I'm like, so I run around to the back, and I drop his bag off kind of just back by the garbage. And I know the key, the code to get in. So I buzz the back door, come running in. And now I'm like that I was outside, and, you know, he was talking smack when I was outside. And he, you know, he wouldn't let her get by. He was opening and closing the front gate, and, you know, he wouldn't let her open, you know. So I was like, what's going to happen to her? So I'm busting over that front gate, and right away the apartment manager just puts her hands up and says, Tom, it's okay, don't hurt him. Like, I'm not going to hurt him, but that's where she, you know, what I look like coming at her, like, I'm going to kill this dude. Because I couldn't get him outside, the gate locked, and he's, you know, inside going, you can't get, and I'm like, this is not how it's ending. So I'm like, okay, she's going to handle it. She's calm. You know, she's handling it her way. She's calmed him down, and she's getting him to leave, and he walks out the door. And her and I say, you know, a couple things, and then we walk up. So all of a sudden, I forget, I walked back outside, and I saw him walk in. Like I could see through the trees and through the courtyard. I could see him. I'm like, how did he get in that gate? So I go running downstairs and I look and he sees me from across the courtyard and I just run at him. And he runs out because he's now knows what lies deep. I haven't, you know, again, I haven't punched him. I haven't got, you know, physical, but he knows that I possess bad deep down in my core. And I can project that anger to someone. So he goes running out, but then he stops in the parking lot. And he starts getting all defensive right away. And he's just like sitting there like, he's like knocking. I'm like, just leave. And I grab that bag. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to take this bag and I'm going to bring it. You know, I'm just going to head west, you know, end of the block. And I'm going to drop it off. I'm going to come back in. I'm going to go inside. I'm like, there, you're outside. You know, your bags are outside. Get your bag and leave. So I come back up and like, that's it. I'm like, okay, done. So like an hour and a half later, manager texts me and says, you know, Zora, the owner's on his way. And I'm like, why are you, like, I'm like, what are you telling me for? She's like, that guy's still here. And I'm like, he's still here? Like an hour and a half later? And she goes, yeah, he wants his bag. And I'm like, I took his bag. Like, did he not follow me and, you know, get, you know what I mean? Like, what was, because I, you know, went around the front and then, you know, came back. And, it, you know, I didn't want to deal with him. You know, I was like, I'll get you outside, get you away, lead you away with your bag. You go looking for your bag, find your bag at the end of the block and then leave. My plan. So, don't know what happened to the bag. Maybe it got stolen. I don't know. But it wasn't like, you know, like, again, I went down there, put the bag down. I figured he's going to follow me and, you know, 5 minutes later, he'll have it, or 2 minutes later, whatever. And again, I went around the front, had no idea, but an hour and a half later and he's here. Look, I'm like, dude, in the last hour and a half, I have no idea what happened to your bag. Why you didn't go get it down there? Why? I don't know. But again, I know he's not all there. So that whole exchange happens. I get, and no one else, you know, my manager had come out. There wasn't any noise. I, you know, ran outside, dropped his bag off, came up. That was it. So when she says this, I'm like, I don't have his bag. Right now, I'm like, oh, you know, I'm like, I kind of felt that up a little bit. It came in and going, oh, you did this. You know, you took his bag and now he doesn't have it. And now he's still here. And now it's this thing. And I start feeling that little bit of uncomfortableness. And I'm not going to tell him, I'm not going to go, oh, I took his bag. Like, I couldn't. I'm like, I felt, I don't know, dumb, embarrassed. I don't know what it was, but I felt like, oh, you know, now it's a problem and it's my thing. So I'm sitting here for like another hour or so, and the police were called. And I think Zorik went there, something like that, went to the police station or whatever like that. And I'm like, you know, they're in all the back talking. And I'm like, you know, I was going to leave with Zen with the car, but my car was in the back. And I didn't want this guy to see who, you know, the car I was driving. So I'm like, I'm just going to walk Zen. So I'm walking Zen for about 20, 30 minutes. And all of a sudden I get a text and it's the manager said, you know, where are you? Are you home? And I said, no, I'm walking Zen. I'll be home in about 5 minutes. And like, oh, the police want to talk to you. I'm like, oh God, here we go. Because again, it's that, you know, did you take his bag? And I'm like, no, I moved it. I didn't take it. I'm like, why would, you know, it's like, do you have his bag? And all that's playing in my mind, you know, what to say. And I go talk to this cop and they don't ask me about the bag at all. And she's like, you know, what happened? I told him, I said, hey, I woke up. He was here, this and this and that. And then this is where it turns. It was 6:15, 6:30 when I first encountered him. He had been in the complex since 5:30. He had broken the lock, the door, into an vacant apartment. The apartment next to that is a young girl, and he was pounding on her window, freaked her out. Then he went upstairs to the one above that. He pounded on that door. And then when I was upstairs and had no idea that, you know, when Zorik had come, because I guess he was going to do some work. But now my manager's like, look, there's this guy here and he won't leave. they had a whole thing. Like Zork was working on another apartment that just got vacated, and the door was partly open, and then this dude kicks open the door, almost hits Zork. So I don't know where or when it happened. And then he pulled out the plug of the carpet cleaning machine, you know, and was getting all aggressive and, you know, doing all this stuff. And then he was in the parking lot and he started pounding on Zorik's car. And Zorik grabbed a lime and I think he threw one at him, but then he walked up to him and he hit him with the lime. Ended up pepper spraying him 3 times. And he's got this little pocket knife. And then he pulled out the knife. So all this had happened, I didn't even, like, know about it. So I'm getting these bits and these pieces as all this kind of coming and going is going on. And I'm, you know, out there talking to the police. And after I talked to the police, you know, I heard bits and pieces like this happened. And then he's outside and, you know, Zork, and he hit Zork's car. And I was just like, all that. And then I'm, like, not really feeling bad. I'm like, this is like a dude that's, like, you know, totally causing chaos in this apartment complex. And I'm like, you know what? You didn't take his bag. You don't have his bag. You moved his bag. That's fine. You know what I mean? Stick there. Like, I don't care anymore. Like, what this guy's been doing. And now he's here harassing everybody. And now the police are here. And it's like 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. I mean, it's like 4 hours later. And I'm thinking it's all done. And I, you know, talked to the cops and, you know, asked me the questions they wanted to ask. And that was it. There's like 6 cops, 8 cops. I couldn't even tell how many there were. And then here's life knocking on your door, literally. So I was going to hear this, you know, this. Oh, OK, I forgot. This dude came back in at some time in between all that. Boom, boom, boom. You're pounding on my door. And I go outside and it's him. So, you know, we're talking back and forth, And he goes outside, and this is where I'm going to finally, like, you know, I'm going to follow him. He's like, where's my bag? I said, I put it down at the end of the box. I said, go, you know, and I'm going to follow him, because if he gets it, doesn't get it, he's not coming back. He said, if I don't get my bag, I'm coming back. I'm like, no, you're not coming back. So I'm like, I'm just going to follow him. So I follow him, and we get close, and we're exchanging. And he's picking up his leg, and I grabbed his foot at one time, like I was just going to, like, push him a little bit. And all of a sudden, Zorik pulled, like, this is such a crazy story. Zorik pulls up, and I'm like, he's like, Tom, what? And he looks and he's got pepper spray. And I'm like, perfect. Because I'm literally trying to just chase this guy away. And I go running after the dude. And there's this street that's, you know, pretty mellow. And it's early in the morning. But homeboy just runs across the street. You know, doesn't slow up at all. And the cars are, you know, not going that fast because they're just turning a corner and turn there. So he kind of runs into the side of this car. So I stopped chasing him, didn't get close to, you know, spraying him. And I go back and I kind of sit on the corner and I wait for a little bit to see if he's coming back. He's not coming back and I'm waiting. And I go walking back. And as I'm walking back, I keep looking. And, you know, I'm just like, I just want to go. Now I, you know, chased you away. You're not here. So go away. So I get back. Manager comes out. Zorik comes out. And, you know, we're talking about what happened. And I give Zorik the pepper spray back. And that's when Zorik's telling me all the stuff that was happening. He's like, I just went to the police station. And, you know, this is what happened. I hit him with a lime. And I sprayed him 3 times. And I'm like, wow. And like, yeah, but stay here. You know, don't, you know, I'm like, yeah, I don't think he's going to come back. He's like, well, they got to come back. I'm like, why? He's like, and they pointed. And there's his bag sitting in the parking lot. And I'm like, oh my, like, and they go, but we want him to come back because, you know, we called the police are coming, and that's when it all kind of started. So after a bit, I went down and talked to the police. After I walked in, went back up, and I'm like, okay, at least it's done. So it's like another hour, knock on my door, and I'm like, you know, but 2 cops haven't seen him. They weren't down there before. It's like 2 new cops. They're like, yeah, can you step out? I'm like, yeah. And like, okay, so he said you hit him. And we're going to have to detain you. And right away, my brain starts going like click, 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 like kind of this slow motion. Like, I know what detained means. That means handcuffed. And I'm like, what? I'm like from the get-go, I knew I wasn't going to hit him. Like, I, you know what I mean? There's just enough wrong with him. Like, he was my size, probably a little heavier. But I knew You know, there wasn't going to be. It could have been, but there was none. You know what I mean? Did I vocalize? Did I curse? Did I raise my voice? Did I yell? Did I threaten? I did everything verbally. I didn't touch him, though. I mean, I didn't punch him. There was no striking. There was no, you know, anything like that. Punches, kicks, nothing like that at all from me. Zorich did some stuff, but I did it, right? So they're like, okay, can you just step out like this? And before you know it, I'm facing the wall of my apartment. And I got, you know, shorts on, a t-shirt. I'm getting handcuffed. And I'm like, this is where, like, it's totally this slow motion, like, click, click, click. I'm like, did not see that coming at all. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, don't go out in the parking lot. You know, don't, okay, good, good, good. But in here, you know, you can't hit people. Don't, you know, don't get physical, but, you know, make sure you protect inside and, you know, get him to leave. And, you know, you did that and you were going to throw the bag and you didn't throw the bag. So, okay, way to go. It's like, and now, so I'm inside the apartment complex in the courtyard and they walk me downstairs. So, like, you know, being paraded through the courtyard, handcuffed, barefoot, shorts, t-shirt on. And I'm like accepting it. I'm like, okay, this is happening. He just starts going, okay, this is what's happening. We're doing this because he said this. It doesn't matter, you know, if anybody says that person did this, you get detained. Now we'll do, you know, an investigation. And but he's talking like just like this. And he's like, you know, we'll book you. We'll bring you down to the station. And I'm like, what? I'm like, I'm going to the station. I'm thinking, you know, in my head, like, okay, what about Zen? And, you know, what do I need? And I'm like, you know, can you get me some flip-flops upstairs? And like, can we go get your ID? And I'm like, yeah, go get my ID, but grab my flip-flops. And kind of going back and forth. And I was like, and then I completely like calmed down. Again, I was like, I am completely not in control. I understand that. Like if someone says, hey, Tom did, anybody did A, they have to handcuff you. But he went on going, and then this will happen, and this will happen, and this is how long it'll be, and like it'll be like an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then you can just walk back home because it's not that far. And I was like, all right. And then I just was like, I didn't care. Like, it was just this, you know, I wasn't embarrassed. I didn't feel weird because there was, you know, like 4 or 5 cops, apartment manager, Zorich, Glenn. The you know, the owner, then a couple tenants were out walking around, looking around. I'm sure the other tenants were peeking out their windows. You know, because all this has been going on like, you know, 6 hours now, 7 hours. And I was just finally at peace. And I was like, I know I didn't hit him. Like, I know for a fact there was like, do you want it and hit him? Like, not that conscious question, but I just know, no, I'm not doing that. I don't know what it is, but I just knew. And I'm like, I do everything I can to get you out. I don't do that. And then you lie, you know, you terrorize the apartment complex and then now you're a victim. And it was funny because I saw him talking to the cops and Zurich's like, you know, he pounded on my car. And this kid's like, okay, if I pounded on your car, where's the damage? And Zurich showed him and there was this little bitty dent. And I'm like, okay, if I hit you, and I wish I would have said this, but when I was, you know, talking to the cops, I was like, you know, when I hit you, I said, where's the damage? Because if I hit you, I guarantee you, you know, there would be a mark on my hand. You know, my knuckle would, you know, you punch somebody with a bare hand and it hurts your hand. And you'll have a swollen knuckle. You'll have something wrong with your hand and something on that dude's face will be jacked. Either some blood, cut, bruise, abrasion, swell, something. There's like nothing. So that's kind of me. I'm fine. I don't care. I'm took it. I'm handcuffed. I don't care. You're taking me in. I don't care. I'm fine. And I just hit that. I wasn't, you know, kind of mentally saying all that stuff to myself, but that's how I felt. And then this bigger cop that had been outside talking to this dude the whole time comes walking in and he starts talking and explaining. And he's like, you know, we did the investigation. And I'm like, you know, what does that involve? And I'm like, I don't know if they were getting, he was like, we're going to gather video and talk. And I thought they were going to like canvass the neighborhood and ask people. And he's like, but we haven't found any evidence. So you can go ahead and take the cuffs off. And just like that, I was like, I was done. And chatted for a bit, but pretty soon the cops were gone, and I was talking to Zorik and Irene, and they were, and this is where it starts kind of now transitioning, because I didn't care. And then they took the cuffs off. So I was fine. But I knew, like, when the manager, Irene, first saw me in handcuffs, her eyes just blew up. And then Zorik sees me in handcuffs behind my back. You know, they're seeing me being led through the courtyard, thinking I might be going out in the back into a cop car, which I kind of thought too. But they're like, okay, we'll just keep you here. And then they sat me down in a chair, handcuffed. You know, and it's like, I don't, you know, but it's the whole thing. It's what they have to do. But it's just weird that now they let me go. And I'm like, couldn't I have just sat here without being handcuffed? Like, I wasn't posing a threat. I walked out. Like they said, hey, can you come out downstairs in the courtyard and sit down for a second while we find out what's going on? I'm like, sure. But they need two cops. They got to handcuff me behind my back, walk down. And it's like, you know, as they're handcuffing me, don't move your hands. Don't move your head. As I'm taking their handcuffs off, they're like, if I take off one cuff off your hand, keep that hand behind your back. You know, so it's like all this strict rule stuff you got to do. And it's like, yeah, and I didn't do nothing and nothing's wrong. And now you're leaving. And it's like, and I didn't care. And I was just, I didn't care. And I kind of thanked Irene and laughed with Zorik, and we all kind of talked about it. And then I just put both arms up in the air and I went, not super loud, but I went, I'm free. And I walked upstairs. And I grabbed Zen, you know, because he, you know, the door opened twice and it was a cop, you know, when I was downstairs. And I'm like, you know, all this was going on all morning long. So he was a little, I'm sure, a little unsettled. So just hugged Zen and sat there for a moment and took a deep breath. And I, again, kind of, like, you know, did not see that coming, did not see any of that unfolding. And there's like, oh, call Scott, text Scott. And I'm like, well, just wait till later. You know, he's busy. He's working. You know, text him tonight. So I think I took Zen to the puppy park or something. And I was like, I'm going to go get some sushi. You know, like kind of in a way, just like celebrate getting through the day, being done with the day. Because they're like, you know, if you see that guy, all you got to do is call us. We'll arrest him immediately for trespassing if he comes back. And, you know, it was just kind of like all done. You know, it was just. And, you know, we're all healthy. Nothing happened to us. We were laughing about it, joking about it. But during it, there was a couple moments. Like, there was a couple tenants out, and I could tell that they were like, why is he handcuffed? And then during it, when I was talking to a cop, Zorik walks up to me. And he puts his arm around me, and he says, he's my security. And, you know, not meaning hired security, but like that, hey, this is, you know, and it just, so there's a little bit of this, you know, I knew who were on my side, you know, and not that the police were not on my side, but I knew that there was not just me out there trying to make sure that they knew I didn't do anything. There was other people, and that, it just kind of made me feel good, you know. So I get up the next morning. This is where, like, to me, it really, really gets good. But I get up the next morning, you know, I go to Waxen again, talking about, assess the threat assessment. I was like, okay, you know, what if he does come back? What if he's at like nuts? I don't care. I'm coming back. I'm going to be up in the morning. Cause it was, you know, 5:30 AM. So I'm up at the same time outside, walking around with Zen outside and, you know, just, you know, had my head, you know, on a swivel as always, but, got back and, you know, felt good. And I'm like, you know, I don't know how crazy this dude was, but when you're out there talking to a cop for that long, they're like, I think they made him aware, like, all you do is show up here and you'll be arrested. And I think some people understand how bad that is and they don't want to get arrested. So hopefully that's what happens. But the day just kind of went about, you know, it was like a good day. Like I got through it, you know, I felt good. And I had texted Irene, the manager, and I said, hoping for a quiet day today, and a laughing emoji. And she said, how are you? And she said, hey, I'm so glad it's done. And she said, you know, it was so nice of the couple of those tenants to say what they said to the cops. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she's like, oh, and I got this text. And a client, tenant, I had to say a client, had texted her and said, that I guess they were going back and forth or texting each other about what had happened. Because everybody, after a while, I kind of found out, like, every just about every other apartment heard something at some point and saw the cops or me or something. And so kind of knew what was going on, but the manager was, you know, texting different people. And she said, well, just please thank Tom. So it was kind of nice to hear that, you know, and I knew that she cared. And, you know, she said, Zorik's coming back today. And, you know, so it was just like this day after everyone was okay. And there was a sense of, like, if you thought of me, you smiled, you know, like everybody was, you know, kind of cool with what I did. So I journal that. And there's one little thing still on my mind. Like, I was tripping a little bit. You know, I had a client just not be consistent last few months. And, you know, money was getting, you know, a little bit tight for, you know, just paying the bills and stuff. And I got a little cash reserve and got an IRA. But my whole goal is not to dip into those things. Like, that's what I'm trying to do. But it was getting to the point where I was like, okay, just without this income, but I was on my mind. And I'm like, well, just check what's in the envelope, cash envelope. And I kind of like, I didn't want to, because I'm like, what if I, because I didn't really keep track. And I'm like, what if there's only this much? So I could tell that was kind of like this low hum in the background of like this, oh, what if, you know, it becomes time, you know, you don't, you know, again, that uncertainty. This is the killer. You know, I was fine. And I had money. I don't want to take it out, but I have it. I'm fine. But in my head, I was like, what if you don't have rent? And what if you got, you know, that fear? And I'm like, you know what? And I'm journaling. And I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm feeling good. I'm like, I got through that day. You know, manager likes me. Owner likes me. You know, some tenants were sticking up for me. This feels good. And I'm like, you know what? Just go check the envelope. So I go check the envelope. Now, there's a scary number, a number I thought I'd have. And it was twice that. So it was the number I kind of was hoping to have. I had twice that in there of that. And it was like, oh, I'm not detained in handcuffs. That whole day is gone. I believe the threat is gone. I have money for rent. And I'm like, and I had Scott in like at 8, and I had time to work out. So I'm working out. And I'm like, that's when it was like this high. Like, I felt so good. Like, another, you know, I sprained my ankle and it turned into this good day. Zen had 2 knee surgeries in 5 months and it turned out to be this amazing, you know, moment in my life, this life-changing experience. And I'm like, okay, now I think I got handcuffed one time outside a bar. My buddy got into a fight and I was, you know, standing up for him, and they handcuffed me and threw me in a cop car, but I was released because I didn't do anything. But I was going to say, I think that was the only time, but I think this is, but again, just to be, you know, turning 59 in a month, I'm like, who's getting detained in handcuffs? And that was one of the things I thought. I go, Scott, whatever your problems are, whatever your challenges were today, I bet this didn't happen. And the moment I go back to, because I'm starting to feel good. So the cops take my handcuffs off. And they said, you know, hey, you know, next time just call us. And I was like, you know what? I go, I've called that police station 4 or 5 times and I've never been able to speak to anybody. And I'm like, I called just a month ago about the dude with the generator. They got like, we're sending cops. And I said, okay, they'll call me when they get here. I go, they never showed. I go, you know, I'm like, you know, you guys are saying, hey, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. But I'm like, it takes forever to get a hold. And they call 911. And I'm like, whoa. I always think like life or death. Like, you know, a guy's got a gun on me. Okay, call it. But people outside harassing homeless people, you know, vagrant, whatever. I'm like, that's not life or death. And they're like, no. And they go, people call it for whatever reason. I go, yeah, I thought you'd get in trouble if you called 911 for something dumb. Not literally get in trouble, but, you know, I'm like, I would just never just randomly call 911 unless I was, you know, fearing for my life. I got in an accident, couldn't move, you know, whatever it was. That's what I think about, not this stuff. I just handle it. So I told them, I go, you know, dude stole the package. I handled that. I said, I handled this. And I said, dude with the generator. I said, I've been doing all this stuff. I said, I can't. They're like, well, just call. And I said, all right. And it was just this moment right here. And I said, you see that dude? And I pointed to Zorik. And it just like came out. And I said, I love that guy. And I said, and the manager, I said, you know, I said, I'm going to do whatever I can to protect these people. I said, someone comes inside, I'm like, I'm going to be me. I go, I'm not going to change. You know what I mean? And he's like, yeah, but look what all happened about it. And again, I understood that. Like, it's like literally it lasted the entire time was probably close to 8 hours. And, you know, Zora came here to fix something, was going to leave in an hour. And he's here all day. And, you know, Irene, the manager's outside all day. And I'm back and forth, in and out, all side. And then I get handcuffed and detained. And, you know, just because someone could just lie. And it's like, yeah, you know, you have anything, any confrontation going on, you know, that's a possibility. So I end up now training Scott. And it's like 8. And I'm like, you know, busting up with excitement to tell him this crazy, crazy story. And so I end up telling him, you know, the story and training him. And all of a sudden, I'm like, hold on. I said, my manager's texting me. And she said, Tom, I want, you know, want you to read this. And I said, Scott, let me read this quick. He said, yeah, go ahead. And it's like, this other tenant said, please tell Tom, thank you for handling that situation and keeping us safe. And, you know, I was just like, number one, I didn't do that to get handcuffed. I didn't get that guy. I didn't become me, that side of me. I didn't let that come out to protect this, you know, apartment complex to get handcuffed. But I definitely do it to get any praise or any pat on the back. I mean, I've been here for 11 years doing what I've done. You know what I mean? It was just, so whatever it was later that afternoon, I come walking back, probably another Zen walk, and I see another tenant pulling out in their car, and they're stopped at the stop line, letting me cross. And I come, thank you so much for blah, 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 blah. And I ended up walking in the house, and this is when it was like this whole, like, okay. And this is where I'll kind of summarize it up. It's such a peaceful, rewarding feeling to know that in that moment, I knew who I was. Like, throw the bag. I'm like, don't throw the bag. You know, smack, punch him. Nah, don't get physical with him. But get him out of here. Stand up. You know, in that moment, people saw who I was. I was myself. In those moments, you're going to be who you are. So you better like who you are. You know what I mean? It's like, that's when you find out. They said, there's this quote where it's like, you know, you don't have these spiritual moments when you're doing meditation or on a yoga mat. You have them in the midst of a conflict. You know, when it's chaos surrounding, that's when you're going to have a moment or not have a moment and see it. And I'm like, I've lived here 11 years. I've never had anybody say, hey, Tom, especially 4 or 5 tenants, the landlord, the manager, the owner, the manager, you know what I mean? Everybody go, hey, thank you, Tom, for being you. Thank you, Tom, for doing what you do. So again, that's it. You better like who you are and how you're being in this world, because from being myself, I got handcuffed and I got praise. So, you know, if you're doing it to get praise and you get handcuffed, life's going to be what? If you're doing it to have some bad, or you think bad's going to come and then good happens. So, you know what I mean? So again, there's that, again, that motivation, that goal, that thing. I'm going to do it. I want to get. It's like, no. Work on you. Chop wood. Carry water. Be you. Find out why you're going to push that stone up today and you did it yesterday and you got to do it tomorrow. Because I know what I've been doing my entire life, but I know what I started doing at 52. I know how I started feeling at 55. I know what happened in 2023. And then I'm detained. And that afternoon, I text Scott. And I was just kind of sharing like how I felt. And I said, oh, and then I sent him this wood project that I made. And I said, along with being detained in handcuffs, I also made this. And he texted me back, drum roll. Handcuffs can't stop you. And right away, I was like, that's such a great, because they literally were handcuffs placed on me. but I continued to be me. I was me, and I was kind of like, uh-oh, you know, you reacted, you took his bag, you know, you moved. It's like, no. I get what I wanted to do. I get where I tempered it. I get where I changed it. I'm fine with me moving that bag. That was to get him away. I didn't throw it, wreck it, you know, put it, you know, I mean, I just put it at the end of the block thinking he would follow me that way and then get his bag. What he did, I don't know. But I was like fine with it. And then to sit there being handcuffed in front of these police, and no matter what they were saying, like, I'm fine. I would do what I'm doing again. And then to get released and be like, there, I knew I didn't do anything. Now I have the right. But in that little moment, there was just like me being me. And it was just, again, I didn't go through any of this to have this rewarding moment. But then at the end of it, it was like, and then the next day I journaled and I felt better. And then I checked for the money and it was there. And it was just this, you're fine. You're, you know, what you're doing is working. Keep being you. Keep doing you. It was just this confirmation, you know, just reinforcement. And it just settles me. It makes me more confident and it makes me more peaceful. I just got to do me. So Saturday, 2 days later, yesterday, I get up and I'm like, you know, I'm just going to drive to, I do the PCH, stop at Topanga. Everything's cool. I'll hang out there. If not, you know, I'll go a little further. Don't know what the weather's going to be like. Don't know what, you know, if I'm going to do anything, hang out. And I stop and Topanga's kind of magical. There's surfers, a cool sunset. I make a couple videos. Like, I'm just kind of like, it's just a great thing to be after at the beach in the morning with Zen, kind of in this place I love, looking back on the last couple days, like how great they were and how great they felt. Because Thursday was, you know, an obstacle course, but it ended wonderfully. And then Friday was just like a celebratory, you know, looking back at that moment and then getting this confirmation and getting texts from people in the complex and saying, thank you, Tom. Thank you, Tom. And I'm like, wow, like, this is so cool. And then we go to the next beach, Leo Carrillo. And this couple's on the edge looking out kind of at the sunset. I walk up, I'm like, I should take their picture. I go, excuse me. And they turn around, I'm sitting there with Zen. I go, can I have your camera and take a picture of you? And they're like, yeah, that's so cool. So they've got an iPhone, so I'm doing portrait, I'm doing cinematic video, like I'm taking all these pictures of them, that, and I hand it to them. Then there's two people are painting. They got easels set up, and I'm looking at them, and one of them turns, and she's getting her stuff ready, and she looks at me, and she goes, look up. And I went, what? She goes, look up. And I look up at the sun, and there's this circle around the sun. It's not a rainbow, but it's a circle, and it's like light. Like, there's the sun, the clouds, and then this lit circle, like a halo. And I'm like, I've been to the beach for 24 years. I'm like, what is that? And I'm like, and you can take a picture of it. And I'm looking, I'm like, God, and it shows up on the camera. I'm like, shooting a video and people are coming up and we're talking about it. I'm like, and that's when I text Scott. This is when I text Scott. It was the next day. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, do you see this? And he's like, yeah, it just happens from the diffusion. And, you know, it's like, gave me like some scientific reason why it happens. I was like, oh, I said, I was amazed. I said, it's just like this magical moment. And I was just like, in that moment, I was like, I didn't know this beach day was even going to happen. And I've been to the beach before, and it's cool, and I love it. It's never a bad day, but it can be raining. I cannot walk on the beach and come home, and I'll still like it. I knew I was going to drive. I'm prepared for it, and it's still a getaway, and I love it. But this somehow turned into this celebratory one. But it was like, you know, I got the greatest videos of Zen and running around, and then this sun circle, and I was just, it was amazing. It was amazing. And I'm like, okay, again. So, greatest day of 2024, I was detained in handcuffs by LAPD in the courtyard in the middle of my apartment complex, and it turned out to be a fantastic moment, experience, and something I can't wait to share on my podcast. All right, so here's two things that I read recently and I just loved. The first is exactly how I feel. Don't you love those moments And this is, again, when I said, you know, who was I 9 years ago and what's this podcast about? I go through this experience. I'm like, look what I'm going through and how well these things turn out and how I learn and I grow from them and I recognize things. And even this was like getting like external, you know, praise was kind of trippy, but it was still pretty cool. But then I got this quote probably 2 weeks ago and I loved it. Don't you love those moments when you realize that you're handling a situation better than a previous version of yourself would have been able to? It's exactly what I said today. Don't you love those conversations with yourself when you realize that the self-work has been working? Exactly what I'm talking about. Don't you love realizing how you've grown? Yes, I love how I've grown. Was Thursday fun? No. Familiar? No. Comfortable? No. How'd I do? I think fantastic for being handcuffed in the middle of the day in your courtyard and being, you know, paraded around in front of your neighbors. And this is a message I got. The person didn't write it to me, but it was just a quote they sent to me. And it was, you know, it's something that touches me. Because it does. It's just like, you know, here would be my wish. I hope I'm accomplishing this. And I was very thankful that I received this. This is a little reminder that the light you bring to the world is needed so much more in times of darkness. Please keep sharing your generous heart without fear. There are so many people out there who rely on the magic you create and the kindness you spread. You could be the reason someone smiles today, the reason someone passes and takes a deep breath, the reason someone pauses and takes a deep breath. You never know who needs to be touched by a heart like yours. So please keep spreading your light. Like, I was completely moved by that. And just, again, the person didn't write it. You know, didn't write it to me. It wasn't written about me. But I loved receiving it. All right, now here's the end. I jotted this down. This is like the first part of the podcast when I was like, all right, PYP is 9. And all of a sudden I just wrote this down. I'm like, here's, if it said like life basics, life 101, or things I've learned, bullet points. Things I now know, 10 of them. I'll end here. Number one, it's on you. It being everything. Two, you will suffer. Three, personal growth is not comfortable. Four, do not attach meaning. Five, be aware of the value of your time and energy. Six, focus on what's in your control. Seven, you feel what you focus on. No debate. Eight, mind and body are vital. Nine, the importance of less negativity. 10, you getting out of your way. So, there you have it. Episode 471. Handcuffs can't stop me. Someone said, you know, have an interesting life. And I'm like, I would say that's an interesting life. If you have a podcast episode, that I'm fond of the fact that that title, you know, Scott sent me that text and right away when I saw it, I was like, there's the title, Handcuffs Can't Stop You. And, you know, again, if you listened 9 years ago, I won't go back and listen to them. But if you heard that version of me and you heard this version of me, I think you'd understand the joy I feel when I say, you know, I love the fact that that's, you know, again, I'm not happy that it happened, but I'm saying it happened and how I dealt with it and what version was I in it. And, you know, was I aware and looking back in hindsight, you know, how do I feel? Typically, you go through a bad moment, and in hindsight, you're like, oh, I should have done that. I shouldn't have done this. You know, again, in the past, I would have beat myself and been critical even if I did something well. So again, I'm not judging myself. I'm not critiquing myself. But I can honestly, you know, take that deep breath and go, okay, let's have this uncomfortable dive and look at what you did. Would you have done anything different? And I'm like, dude, looking now, I'm like, I killed it. I think I did great. Was it perfect? No, I'm not perfect. The things I might have, would have adjusted here, there. Yeah, but in the moment, I mean, I was editing myself. That's a newer version. In the moment, editing myself, therefore changing the experience. I don't have regret. I don't feel like I escalated. I don't feel like I did anything. That dude was a problem, and he needed to get out. And everyone here recognized my effort. Like, well, there you go. And not that it was important that people recognize it, but, I mean, it's so obvious that everybody, including the police, saw it clearly. So, again, the path I'm walking to have that moment, get through it, look back, have all that data, yeah, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. Thank you, thank you, thank you if you have listened for 9 years. I would love to hear from people who have listened that long. But I know I got listeners, and I know I got some consistent listeners. And it's only, you know, Nico texting me one day going, hey, Tom, no one listened to that last episode. I'd be like, all right, maybe it's time to hang it up. But I got people listening and people listening consistently. So thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart. And, you know, as a suggestion, as far as getting a therapist, journaling, you know, just getting out my stories has always and continues to help heal me. I go through something immediately. I'm like, you know, how do I share that? What did I go through? What am I going to write down? You know, get a sticky note, write a note. You know, I mean, it's constantly me thinking about how I'm doing, constantly working on me, and then organizing those thoughts so I can share it. You know, even on Instagram. The other morning I posted something. I was like, oh, Sisyphus. Oh, that reminds me of that quote about the mountains. Behind those mountains, there's more mountains. And, you know, it's just like personal growth, but wow, it's like physical fitness journey as well. And I was going to press record, and I'm like, there's so many thoughts going in my head, but that's how I just started. I just said, look, I'll be honest. I got a bunch of thoughts, and yeah, I got all excited to share, and I'm going to try to do this as organized as I can. And again, I thought I did fairly well, you know, because I knew what was kind of in my head, but I get excited, and I'm in this, you know, this moment of growing. And again, it's not because I got everything working out. Again, I was chipping out about, you know, money. And then it's like, look, that's the point. I'm the version of me because of what I've done, the choices I've made, the work I've done, the time and effort I've put into me. Not because what's happened to me externally. Not because wonderful, grandiose events or moments or people have, you know, magically sprinkled stardust on my life. And that's the great thing. In lieu of not having A, B, C, D, you know, wishing A, B, C were different or hoping A, B, C, D, in lieu of all of that, being the best that you've ever been, that is the goal. And that will never stop being an unfamiliar, uncomfortable, uncharted path. So you must deem yourself worthy. And I'm going to let you know right now, as always, you are worth it. Hello, and welcome to your Pro You moment. Would love it to find out that someone's been doing the Pro You moments for 9 years. Besides me. So, if you're in the 400s, or all the way to the 471st Pro You moment, let's begin to control that which we can control. Seated on the floor if you can, eyes closed, neutral neck, shoulders over your hips, navel tucked into your spine. We'll draw the inhale through the nose. We'll allow the exhale out the mouth. Create that ebb and flow. Control it. Slow it down. Stay in control. Keep it slow. Stay connected. Stay present in the moment. Do that for the best of your ability. For 180 seconds, anything enters the space between your ears, kindly, calmly ask it to leave. Return to your breath. Do this to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Congratulations, the key to success, little things done consistently. It's exactly what the Pro You moment is and always has been to me. So I'm going to end it with just gratitude. Yeah, I'm thankful for my life. I'm thankful for my experiences, for Zen, for Nico, for Chris, for the podcast, for the listeners, the ability to live my life that I get to and be able to share, and the opportunity to share what I'm going through. And then again, like that quote, like to be able to look at it and go, I'm a better version. I'm having a better experience. I'm aware of that. That's all I could ever ask for. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening and being a part of the Pro You podcast and being a part of my journey. Peace and God bless.